Can we talk more about preparation? Because you've clearly read so much, obviously, about cats and the evolution of them, and you've had to go to Borneo to photograph these incredible pets and specimens. How do you research and plan ahead for a shoot, and what's involved that most people don't see? And how important is research for you in your practice?
There's a side that to understand the meaning of a picture and how it resonates is to understand its need to understand the cultural context. If you're working with an animal, you have to have, you could almost say empathy. You have to be able to imagine what the animal is sensing. Is it stressed by the situation? Is it comforted by having its owner there? Or if it's a wild animal, an environment where it's not too scary and different. So research, obviously it's a term, we often say that, but I think that there's a difference between bringing current research papers, literally, and we've been doing that on this book. We've been working with Jonathan Lossos, an evolutionary biologist, and Morten Kreidelbach, who is a neuroscientist based at Oxford, in collaboration with this book. But we have gone through the papers and the journals to actually understand current thought around a number of aspects of feline meme, the name of my cat.
So you're researching and not research, you're looking at new scientific papers about cats before you go out into the field.
For example, we phoned up Dan O'Neill, who's a professor at the Royal Veterinary College, and he's the world leading in ethics. He talks about brachycephalic breeds with flat faces to look more cute and how that affects the health and how we should be looking for health over looks, the breeding for health over looks. So we will literally, I will phone up someone and just say, please advise. We asked ChatGPT, who are the world's two leading cat eye experts? And it threw up two names, and we got the email in the feed, and we emailed them back some questions and got a response the same day. So it's possible to use any tool to get there. But obviously, I think all dogs would say we research. They do, but it depends what you mean by research. Does it mean predicting better what's going to happen on the day? Or does it actually involve exploring further in depth the meaning and, I suppose, the history and the research around them?
And how do you find the subjects? Are you scrolling on like cat Instagram or Facebook, or how are you finding the owners and like contacting them? For example, the cat with two different colors on its face. Like, how did you find these fascinating subjects?
I think it reminds me, I was asked this by someone a few weeks back, what would you advise a person to do if they're starting a journey as a photographer? And I'd probably say, be curious and stay curious. But now I think be brave and reach out is probably what I'd say. In the post-pandemic era, I think it's progressively more scary for young people to reach out. And I was amazed how we would just phone people up around the world and they pretty much said, yes, let's come to us and we'll do that, or I'll come back and advise you. Collaboration is so important. For any of you young photographers out there, I'm afraid you only get braver if you take on the scary and talk to people, meet people, and you'll be amazed what doors open for you.
Definitely, very good advice. And have you been doing that approach since you've begun your journey? Have you always been that brave?
Brave is separate to have I actually reached out. Yes, I've reached and I got braver because I'm still survived and still here.
Yeah.
I started with horses and then I went to dogs. Then I went to this is my sixth main body of work done over several years. And we calculated what we probably reached out to 100 people for this book project. We didn't just go to a cat cafe and shoot 20 cats. We chose the cat. We chose when in the year for a long coat cat, it was going to have the best coat, when it was going to be in the best condition, the age, the so many factors. And for that, absolutely, we rely on everyone. I rely on April behind me as the partner in doing this, on the amazing wranglers we have, handling the wild animals or weather or advising us, and the show cats and the expertise. I think that's half the fun of it. The adventure, which is how you started this conversation earlier, is where you don't know the outcome of where you're going to go. And in aesthetics, interesting, there's a parallel. For us evolutionarily to adapt, we need to maintain continual new pathways in our neural networks. They call it plasticity. And so in aesthetics, there's this idea of disambiguation, where you're thrown into something that you, in some ways, you can't even discern, but it's the act of discerning it which makes you feel most alive. And the act of being most alive is in that moment when you're disambiguation. The prediction is important because we couldn't put one foot in front of the other. We'd fall over. So we need habits. We need prediction. Predictable things. But we also need to find that space which draws us out and pushes us down another avenue. Maybe a new skill set, maybe new people and a new experience.
So is it embracing the uncertainty and then putting in the work to reduce the uncertainty once you're actually there with the subject and shooting it, because you don't want it to go wrong on the shoot?
Well, I think uncertainty is part of life anyway. It's just which uncertainty you want and which adventure. You want it to be a bigger adventure, then you probably have to take the initiative. If you want to be obsessed about a hole in your carpet at home, then you can do that. But I think the problems don't go away.
Yes, very true. And you mentioned this is your sixth kind of major project. How do you maintain both quality and motivation in your work over decades? Because I'm sure a lot of people struggle with inconsistency.
I think there's obviously several aspects to that. One is you've been there and survived. I've produced a book. I know the process and I've got skill sets that help me do the bleeds and preparing the files. I do my own Photoshop work. So most photographers who have got a profile tend to give a lot of their retouching away. I actually have always chosen to do it personally. So those skill sets keep growing. Can you repeat that question? Because I'm not actually answering it.
It's no worries. How do you maintain both quality and motivation in your work over the decades? And how do you maintain that consistency?
Okay. So obviously, quality is, as Ernst Gombrich once said, in the eye of the beholder, whatever you think quality is. The interesting thing is that the technology gets better and better. And we now use eye tracking, which has meant that we barely have to worry about locking that point on the eye of the animal. So it changes the methodology. It's getting easier and easier. So there's a degree of quality increase. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the fact that actually those things have been better and better dealt with by the emerging the technologies. In terms of quality, if I don't deliver a book to my publisher that kind of is in keeping with the development of technique, is moving things along, then they simply won't publish it. And that's it. So you always have the uncertainty, even when you're at my stage in my career, that you've got to deliver. But I don't mind that because that's what drives me to think, shit, I better get this right. I better make the extra effort. I must change my schedule and just get it done. You also need to get a good instinct for what's going to be important. What is this that really could, how can I say, you've got to have an instinct for what really works. And also be a self-critic as well. And also, my friends come in here. I'm going to swing this so you can see. There's a sort of board of prints here. Oops, let me try and get this angle. It's very difficult with these cameras because they're the wrong way around. But anyway, a board of images there. And those images are printed versions. And we also have InDesign. My friends come in and I ask them, tell me which one, what annoys you. And they're usually fairly frank. And you've got to be clear about able to step back, forget something, know it very well, step back, hear how other people are experiencing it. It isn't about just saying, they see that, so I'm going to change everything. It's about understanding how your work is viewed in somebody else's shoes. The ability to be a communicator is slightly different from self-therapy or existentialism, in this case, insight into inner psychology. Not saying it's a bad thing, but ultimately, if you really want to create experiences for other people, you've got to be able to imagine and manifest what would that be to someone else. And that is where you become a communicator, a visual in my case, rather than just the self-therapy. Now, it's slightly different to the commercial side because you started this conversation. How do you become a successful photographer? How do you make money? That's just an outcome. It's not whether you're great great, great pictures. And unfortunately, the history of photography has many incredible contributors to the medium, and some of them never made a penny. As you know, Van Gogh only sold 2 paintings in his life. It does not equate to whether it's good or bad. In fact, some of the biggest crap is done by very successful commercial photographers. And great pictures are done by commercial photographers. It doesn't correlate.
Yeah. And just going back to fear as a motivator, have you read about the study with the rat and the cheese before?
I think you're alluding to a paper which I can't quote, if that's what you're asking me.
No, I'm talking about there was a study where they had a rat in a tube and they attached its tail to a coil to measure how much it would be pulling towards something. And they wafted the smell of cheese in the front and then measured it, and it pulled relatively high. But then they wafted the smell of a cat from behind and it pulled way harder. And the conclusion of that is fear is a very strong motivator.
I don't know that one, but it doesn't surprise me. What you're really talking about is survival. Success is the priority. The reason that, if we go back to my earlier discussion about cuteness, the reason that cuteness is important and it's given a priority in terms of neuro highway, i.e. you get fast, is because it's important for our evolution success. And survival success is ultimately the driver. And I would argue that the arts work with perceptual mechanisms that are part of the way we construct our reality. And the reality is only there for our survival success. There is no reality. It's just what we need to survive.